In this all-too-fast-paced era we live in, it's comforting to see something that's managed to stick around for 225 years. I'm talking about the Old Farmer's Almanac. What Massachusetts schoolteacher and bookseller Robert B. Thomas began in 1792 is with us yet today. The 2017 edition is out, and we get to talk about it now as we say hello to the editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac, Tim Clark. Welcome to Stateside.
Glad to be here.
Well, talk about staying power when you think that this publication earned the title Old Farmer's Almanac in 1832.
That's right. It's held that record, the oldest continuously published periodical in North America ever since then.
Why do you think the almanac has survived?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. One of them is that in spite of the fact that we've been calling ourselves the Old Farmer's Almanac, we have to be new every year, and we can't just keep doing the same old stuff. If you look at the almanac now, you see we have a new, or not new, but refined cover engraving. This is sort of typical of what we do with the almanac. We're making a change, but we're not making too much of a change. It's no longer something of great use to farmers, but then only 1% of our population are now working in agriculture. But we have more than 40 million households that garden, so we put more information in about gardening. We also try to pay attention to other stuff. In fact, probably the central subject of the Old Farmer's Almanac is astronomy. The word almanac comes from an Arabic root that means a calendar of the heavens. While we only give about 20 pages to weather forecasts, we give considerably more space to showing exactly what's happening in the sky every day of the year. The position of the principal planets, any big eclipses coming along. We have a big one coming in August of 2017, the first total eclipse in the United States in 38 years.
Yeah, a big piece you've written on that. That is something to look forward to, August of 2017.
Yes, and I'm very excited about it. I've seen partial solar eclipses, but never seen a total one. And since this sort of rhythm of totality is going to be crossing the continent from Oregon to South Carolina, and it's 140 miles wide, which surprised me, I think tens of millions of Americans will have the opportunity to look and see this remarkable experience if the weather is clear. That's the big issue. The good thing is, if by some chance it's cloudy that day, you won't have to wait another 38 years. The next one comes along in 7 years.
Okay, that is a little smaller window there. When we think of the Old Farmer's Almanac, we do think of weather. And I'm wondering, broad strokes, what kind of Farmer's Almanac predicting, and what about summer of 2017?
In Michigan, we think that it's going to be a somewhat warmer than normal winter, although nowhere near as warm as last year. So don't look for something like that. That was a very remarkable event due to the big El Nino. We think there's going to be slightly less snowfall. Come spring, it's going to continue to be warm and drier than normal. But then it'll switch around for the summer and fall, both of which we think will be cooler and wetter than normal. But I have to caution that when we talk about that, we're not talking about some kind of epic change, not like last year. Summer will still be summer. It'll have beautiful days and warm temperatures. I like to say the secret of our success is that for 225 years, we've been bravely predicting that the winter would be cold, and then it's going to warm up in the spring, get hot in the summer, and cool off in the fall. And at that, we only claim 80% accuracy.
It makes me kind of wonder how you are able to break down the weather so far in advance. I mean, I'm looking at predictions for 1 year hence, broken down by the week.
Yes, and it's even longer than that, because we have to have them all to the printer at the end of February. The secret is what we're paying attention to most is the sun and the solar cycle, which lasts 11 years approximately. And we have had 24 of these solar cycles since Galileo first started counting sunspots. It's a long record. And basically, we look for a year in which it's the same part of the solar cycle. The amount of radiant energy rises and falls in a predictable way. And enough other factors seem to compare that we can create an actual index year. So I don't know what the index year is this year, but let's say it's 1936. And we pay close attention to what actually happened in the weather in 1936 and add in things and adjust and make fine tunings and come up with really pretty much a day-by-day forecast for the coming year. It's a ridiculously ambitious project, and we're lucky that we are as successful with it as we are. Last year was one of our worst years, by the way, because we bet wrong on El Nino. We thought that there wouldn't be one, and there was. But even then, we managed to get 55% accuracy. The year before, when we bet right on El Nino, we were at 93%, and that was scary. In fact, I urged the owners of the Almanac not to publicize that because I was afraid people would start to expect that.
I have to ask you, when you think of, as you say, you pick a year like 1936 and comparing the sun cycle, we've seen a lot of change in terms of climate change, man-made things. How has climate change affected your forecast?
How does climate change affect our forecast? Well, it affects it only slightly. The formula has been the same for 225 years. We're aware of it, and as I say, we have to make bets sometime on whether the predicted El Nino is going to happen or not. What we look at in terms of the changes in the Earth's climate as now is that we are lucky that we are in a low period of the solar cycle. Lower amounts of radiant energy coming, thus cooler temperatures. Now, obviously we're not seeing cooler temperatures, but our forecaster thinks that the low solar cycle may be moderating the heating of the atmosphere. What he's worried about, and we're worried about too, is if we don't do something about the heating here on Earth, when the solar cycle turns upward again 50 or 60 years from now, there will be a real catastrophe because we will not be able to control the solar heating the way we control things here on Earth.
I also have to just pivot a little bit and say how much I enjoyed the 2017 trends section, all kinds of interesting things to watch for, whether it's gardening, on the farm, or at home, because you also serve up the contrasting trend from 1792. It's great to have anything that connects us with great-great-great-grandpa and beyond.
In spite of the fact that we're the old farmer's almanac, we've got to be new to some degree every year. And so we keep track of trends, especially the ones that seem applicable to, as I was saying, gardening and the way people live their lives. I was struck especially by a very surprising statistic that 78% of young farmers say they were not raised on a farm. And I find that stunning. I find that something new in human history. In the past, people became farmers because their parents were farmers. Who are these people who are becoming farmers now? I think we read articles about the new urban farmers and so forth, but I think this is a big change in human history.
Fascinating material in the Old Farmer's 2017 Almanac, celebrating 225 years. Thank you so much, Tim Clark, editor. It's a lot of fun going through the book, and it's something I've grown up with. We always had one in our house, and it's great to see still this tie going for 225 years.
You know, it's a great teaching device. A lot of homeschooling people have subscriptions to the Almanac because there's so much they can teach to their kids.
Tim, thanks so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
You're welcome.